You're listening to Jimmy Disu.
Jimmy Disu.
Right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu, the last for the week. And ironically, I think it's the last in 2022 before Christmas. Okay, so I'm waiting for my guest. He's here. Larry is here. Mr. Larry Onoto is with the Tyler Garage. He's an engineer, actually. I don't know why he doesn't call himself an engineer. You know, Nigerians like big, big titles.
Uncle Sheriff.
So Larry is here. Larry, morning. How are you?
Fine, sir. Uncle Jimmy. Good morning, sir.
Now, what Larry is here to discuss, Tyler, he runs a garage, Tyler Garage. What is here to discuss, let's give those of you who want to travel by road and put your cars on the road, let's give you some advice before you hit that road. But that's not the only thing we're going to discuss. We're also going to discuss the fuel crisis, the danger of buying fuel in jerry cans. If somebody has done it behind your back, how do you make sure your car is back on the road, fit to travel, and so on and so forth. So that's what we'll be talking about, Larry. But Larry, excuse me, and let me quickly read this notification. Okay, that gives you time to catch your breath.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Now, for those of you who miss the program with Sheriff and I in the morning, I want to quickly run through this story. Airlines catching on festive season to hike fare to 130,000. Thank God I don't read the news. I don't know. I'll be stammering half the time. I don't think that makes you a hero.
I know, right?
Yeah, I can't read the news. I can't. It just reminds me of Benson Idoneje way back in the 70s. He had this program, The Big Beats, and Uncle Benson was big on that program. Then one day they moved him and told him to read the news. Well, I'm just like that. I can't read the news. I can't do that. Okay, so let's listen to this now from this story very quickly. The cost of a one-way economy ticket on airpiece from Lagos to Owerri and so on and so forth had gone up to 120,000 as of yesterday. Okay, and this is a ticket, advance ticket bought for Saturday. It's 120K. All the other airlines, 100,000 and so on and so forth. So if you, madam, and three children are going, that's half a million straight away to go and half a million to come back. So one Emre Boni and Wem. You just want to go and celebrate
Christmas,
Christmas in Kaduna, in wherever, is 100K, if you are stubborn, you have Odweshi and you think, well, I must go to the village. If you want to go by road, the alternative traveling by air is the road option, but checks the rule that cost of traveling by road has also increased. GUO Motors, the trip to Enugu with the Sienna now costs 27,500 for an adult and 20,600 for like a bomb boy for a child. Now, I think child needs to be defined in Nigeria, because I remember way back, I think it was 1985, I was taking a Pan Am flight to en route the UK, British Caledonian to Lagos. And when they said that all those who are traveling with children should board first, there was a woman that came with this tall teenager, and so when she got to the gate and she said, "Madam, you said all those with children." I said, "This is my child." Said, "This is my child." He had 18-year-old. Meanwhile, what they actually meant were babies and kids. So you probably need to define this. But so 27,500 for an adult, 20,600 for a child. And that's for the Sienna. I don't know why the cost is different for the buses, because the highest bus is 24,500 for an adult. What this means is that by today, it will almost be 30,000 to go by. Oh my God. So if you're going, you, Madame Bomboy, and the little girl there, the four of you, you're talking of 100,000 to get to the village. This probably even gets you to the capital. Then you have to now take another one to the village. Yes. So, and there are a lot of flight delays and cancellations. That is for your information. If you're going home, you better think twice. Right. Mr. Lanre Onotoye, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir.
Now, we have a crisis that's going on now. And if you're very observant, you're beginning to observe breakdowns of vehicles. Okay, so the traffic, I know they might be breaking down from overheating. Okay, is that right?
Certainly.
Certainly, yes. So, to what extent does the traffic affect the life and well-being of a car? Let's start from there.
Well, the cars are equipment that are manufactured under precise condition. We have standard condition for temperature. You have very cooling equipment to ensure that the temperature does not go beyond the standard design temperature. So if you keep the car on the road for longer hours and running, the car
will heat up,
certainly.
Oh, okay. Is it varied amongst different cars? Because I know that at the minimum, it looks as if Japanese cars are more tolerant than European cars when it comes to this. Is that true?
Yes, to an extent, because
I've become a car expert.
The Japanese have tried to master the African environment.
Environment.
Yes, which the Europeans are still trying to measure up to. For instance, you know, the European will always use single cell radiator because of the temperature in their environment.
Okay, that's what it is.
And then in our environment, a double cell radiator will do.
I see. Okay, now what is the maximum tolerable time that you can be in traffic for it not to affect your car? Well, just give us an average, not sacrosanct, but an average minimum time.
You know, there are cars and there are cars. And you are a lover of cars. So if you have brand new cars, you are talking about optimal performance. But once your car starts aging, you'll be careful the way you use it.
But give us a time. We need to educate our
people. 6-8 hours. 6-8 hours, you should be allowed to cool down.
A guy here was in traffic for only God knows how long yesterday. He still hasn't recovered. How many hours were he in traffic for?
Well, that's about 3 hours.
Was he driving?
He was driving.
Huh? Wear and tear on your body.
That's about 3 hours.
But what I said,
wear and tear on your body.
Two Fridays ago.
I woke up with a headache. I mean, I got home with headache then because I have been in traffic consistently for 3 days this week, spending hours in traffic. The lowest being 2 hours. Yesterday was 3 hours.
Wow.
Watch out for your legs.
Consistently.
Your right leg.
So leave that to the doctor. You are a doctor of automobile. He's a human being. A robot. I mean, watch as he looks talky and everything. He's a human being. but see,
should I tell you something?
Yes, tell me.
I left my house this morning with my car to get here before 7. Yes. I turned back at Idumota.
With your car?
Yes. I turned back when you started Daily Digest.
Daily Today.
I turned back at Idumota, parked the car in the nearby place around Ujuelegba, and board another bus that took me down here.
Jesus.
So, to an extent, sometimes it pays to go on public transport.
We also have to pander to the life of the public transport vehicle. It pays you, yes, but what about the guy running the buses?
He's in business for it, sir.
And possibly maybe the buses are made to withstand all of those.
Is that right?
Yes. some of those buses, especially Japanese, German buses, most of Volkswagen, they are made to withstand high pressure.
That's rugged pressure.
Yes, sir.
So you had for okay. So what is the ultimate slow damage you would have on a vehicle that keeps going through traffic of this nature?
It will age on time. Ideally,
what are the first signs that you will see? Would it be slow? Would it be jerking? What are the first signs you will see?
You will spend more money on maintenance. That's the first sign. If you normally service regularly once in 4 months, you suddenly realize that you have to start servicing once in 3 months or 2 months, as the case may be. Because if you're mindful of the condition of your engine oil, you bring out the dipstick early in the morning, you check the texture, you check the color, you check the smell, you will know that you are using it beyond.
I can't ask you what the smell will be like, but at least I can ask you what the color will look like. When you check, use the dipstick in the morning, what color is it supposed to get from it?
It's supposed to be close to amber.
Amber, yeah, is a... For our Yoruba listeners, yellow is yellow.
Amber is between yellow and orange. It becomes dark, then you know that it's aging.
Now you find
it
that...
It can knock the engine, sir.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it can knock the engine.
You find that people also buy fuel, because of the way conditions are, a lot of car owners now go to the side market to buy, 1 gallon oil to tope and things like that. Is that a safe thing to do?
Well, it depends on the kind of car you are putting it in. Somebody on a 2018 Toyota Highlander, it would be absurd to patronize
the roadside.
You better buy high quality oil, 0W20, 5W30. Specification of oil for your car is usually engraved on the top of the engine oil cover.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Watch out for it.
So anytime if you find yourself having to put oil in your car, look for the... They have different grades.
Yes, sir.
The ones that they sell by the roadside, are they safe?
They are regular oil. It's just the quantity of the... I want to use the right word.
You can say it in Yoruba, but it's not quite lorry. I will translate for you.
Because when those oils are grade, it's because of the percentage of the treatment. Let me call it engine oil treatment. Let me say you want to use...
We are talking of the roadside oil.
The roadside oil is regular.
It's just regular oil.
Yes, no treatment.
So, are you suggesting that if you buy those regular oils, then you should also have oil treatment to go along with it?
Well, if you have genuine quality oil treatment, then you can add along with it.
But if you don't buy genuine quality, you're left.
That's why it's good to patronize the mobile filling station.
I
can't talk mobile.
Where is Mrs. Chidi?
Toyota. You have to pay.
I apologize.
You have to pay.
Okay, so fair enough. Again, there's ignorance about the use of oil treatment for cars. You find people whose cars are aging and they still don't have the money to change the engine or whatever. They keep putting oil treatment. Does that help?
When you are aging, you are aging. You flush your blood out and put new blood there. It does not save you from old age.
That agomo that you are taking every day, it won't help.
The engine oil does not make the car better. Change the car, sir. Change the car.
I know.
If the engine is
old, you have to change it. Do you know for a fact that we're gradually becoming like Cuba? In Cuba, people use cars for 30 years with pride. And then because of the cars, it became a tourist attraction. If you go to, until Obama became president and established relations with them, you'd go to Cuba, you'd see a 1958 Buick.
Still running.
Those are the cars that you have. Cuba is a country that needs to be studied very well. you know, they went through so much pain and came out, you know, very, so you see 1956 cars, 90 whatever, those are the cars you'd have seen in Cuba about 10 years ago. And they're still on. This idea of buying new cars is peculiar. And Africans like big, big things. If you see the proper Oyinbo man, he buys one car and probably uses it for
his lifetime.
But then again, the wear and tear. So, traffic is one of the problems that we have. Oil is one, but the bigger
quality
one...
Quality of fuel.
It's giving me a lot of concern. Fuels have different smells from one station to the other. Don't go talking about brand of fuel, though. That one will tie you down here. But what are the dangers that we face with the, you know, with the current fuel situation that we have now?
Sir, we are beginning to get used to it, though. Is every Christmas?
But that makes you make money because you are the one who repairs the cars. Yes. You say you are getting used to it. The owners are not getting used to it. Okay. And you remember you were here the other time and I said that when we put petrol in our cars, should we be going the extra mile by putting,
fuel treatment.
Fuel treatment. Because you see, I grew up knowing in this country and like in other countries, but in this country, we used to have ordinary and super. I feel so sorry for the ignorance that a lot of people are exhibiting in some of the cars they put on the road. Do you understand? Yeah. I mean, how would you have a Rolls Royce, for example, and then drive it to any of our petrol stations and fill it up? It doesn't add up. Those expensive cars and so on and so forth, definitely you are not using the kind of petrol. In those days, you had what you called ordinary, super, and five-star. And we keep telling our people, NNPC, that look, the big boys can take care of themselves. Let them have first grade. Some of these petrol that we have here, you cannot even use them for aero lotter. You can't use them for that machine that grinds pepper. Do you agree?
I agree, because the fuel quality will determine the emission rate. And over there, once your emission does not pass.
Emission, okay. You know, we want submission first. Let's put it at this rate, you know. Where are we headed with this nonsense that we are doing? We have to talk within 3 minutes. Where are we headed with this with current situation now, by not being able to go in and buy fuel and so on and so forth? What are the consequences for us?
We are in a very big strait, and it's like an emergency. We just want the fuel. We don't care about the quality. If you get your car gets stuck on Abeokuta Expressway as you are traveling because of low fuel, you may not get fuel within the next 2-3 kilometers.
Even before you got there, you wouldn't get.
So any fuel that is supplied to you, whether adulterated, whether good quality, whether regular, mid-grade, premium, you put it in the car, just rescue yourself.
So what's the implication for the car?
It's going to damage the car. It's going to cause a lot of...
So why are you pretending as if you don't know it's going to damage the car? Because you don't want it to be seen as if you benefit from it. At the end of the day, I think these guys maintaining cars are making good money. And it's not your problem.
All thanks to Nigerian government.
All thanks to Nigerian government. We're going to take a break. I take a break at what time?
9:24.
Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll open up our lines and I'll continue the discussion with Mr. Larry Onotoye, you know, of Teleguide. What we will also be talking about are the things you need to look out for before you hit that express road going home. And that includes those who are going to Ibadan.
Yeah, safety tip.
It's no point at me. Why are you pointing? Oh, my God. Why me now, eh? I'm not going to Ibadan.
I'm not going to
Ibadan.
So that you don't think that because the distance is short, you know, these days you go to Ibadan, could take you a whole day. Hey, it's Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. I have Larry Onotoye here. He's an engineer. He runs a garage. And after the break, we'll take your phone calls and move on with the program. So, stand by. You're welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. Sheriff asked Larry a question whilst we were off air, and that is the danger of fuel, you know, getting to the rock bottom in your car? What exactly is the danger of that? For your tank to almost get to empty before you fill it up.
It's not advisable to allow your tank to get to empty because just do a little exercise, pour fuel into a bucket and leave it to settle down. At the bottom, you will see the residual, the sand, the particles, the impurities, sulfur.
Well, that's also because the tanks from where the petrol are dispensed, in a normal situation, the tanks wouldn't go beyond quarter tank.
Yes.
But because of shortages and whatever, they tend to sell fuel to the rock bottom. So what do you keep would fuel treatment help you?
Fuel treatment will help to an extent, but I will advise you washing your tank. You can.
How? You remove the tank and take it to the washman or what?
No. you can remove the fuel pump. You gain access.
That's at the garage. Don't
try. Garage. You
don't
bring
do
it to
this
Tyler.
At home.
You bring it to Tyler Garage.
Ha!
Of course.
Hey.
Is it an advert?
You shouldn't be doing that, Larry.
I apologize.
Okay.
So once you do that, you drain the fuel and you clean the bottom of the tank.
Okay.
You see all the sand gather, the purities.
Purities. Okay. Let's. So before we get lost in the program, the major reason why you're here is, what is the advice that you have for people who want to hit the road on holidays? What advice do you have for those who want to hit the road on holidays?
First advice.
Without asking them to come to your garage.
Yes, first advice is if you don't have to travel, please stay.
Oh,
stay
really?
Within. Yes, because you may, at the end of the day, regret traveling if you face challenges.
I mean, if your car is up and doing, what are the challenges?
Let's say your car is up and doing and then you cannot get fuel on your return journey.
Yeah.
Or you did not envisage that Lagos State government or other state government are constructing and a 1-hour journey becomes 8-hour journey. And that is burning fuel.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I don't know, Sheriff, do you have any information about the Lagos-Ibadan Expressway now?
It's been opened. That Kara axis, where construction is ongoing, has been opened for now.
Okay.
So there's free flow of traffic. There's been at least for like a week or over a week now. It's been
opened. What about the new bridge? I mean, what do you call it? Long bridge and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's the Kara area.
They're open.
That's the long. Yeah, it's open now.
So it's easy to go to Ibadan back?
Yes, it is now.
It's a pity we don't have a good rail system.
Right.
Okay, let's take, because time is fast spent, let's take your calls 0700-993-993-993, 01465-7190. So if you have any questions or comments, please let's stick to the rules that we all know and so that we can have a pleasant program here. Hello, good morning. Hello?
Uncle Jimmy, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Yes, sir. My name is Dan Baba.
Yes, Dan Baba, how are you?
Fine, sir. First of all, the Lagos Ibadan Expressway is open, but it's peak traffic. Because the Julius Vega blocks some part of Ojodu area, heading down Fabian Petrol Station. So they put their block there. It's causing a lot of traffic. Yesterday, the traffic was from Bega almost at the middle of Long Bridge. So they need to do something about it. Then back to what you are discussing, Uncle Jimmy. Nigerians are going through hell. I pray we get out of this mess after the 2023 election. Last week, my family traveled to East. I bought one ticket for 20,000 naira. Two tickets is 40,000. It's not easy at all for Nigerians. Especially when it comes to transportation. Money that we used to book for flight, 12,000 naira, now you use it to hit the road. It's all funny.
Okay, thank you very much, Dan Baba. God bless you. Hello, good morning. Hello? Hello?
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Yes, morning. Yeah, so I myself, I want to have an issue with that Kara Bridge, Long Bridge. Of it. My question is that is there no better way that this contractors, these people, you know, can handle this construction. Because, like the last caller said, people pass through hell, a lot of hell. I mean, in the cost of, maybe extension, road extensions and all that. Remember, this is not just an outright construction, okay? So I imagine if they could not even just do a total overhauling. So my appeal is that, in fact, let's to me, as far as I'm concerned, I could have even preferred them leave, just never even come back. So that they just be managing it like that. Because you know what? I've been apprehensive of the arrival in January 15 again now. I mean, that's just for three.
Okay, you know, all right. The point is not that you spent 4 minutes. What you probably don't appreciate is that if we decide to chuck all the contractors or whatever away, in another 90 days, you won't even be able to get near where that is. The whole thing will be in disarray. It's unfortunate that it's taken us 20 years to repair an express road, to reconstruct an express road. There's something wrong with us as a people. I am told that when the contract for that road, for example, was put together way back in Chagari's time, the contract included provision of traffic lights, a provision of street lights.
Okay.
We never saw the light of day. And it's a shame that in our country, to refurbish a road has taken, but we've had the Mr. Fix-It and all kinds of things, who have been Minister of Works. In fact, it's to Buhari's credit that he's probably the one that has been most consistent, but even it's taken him 8 years to continue from Jonathan.
Now, to be very honest, excuse me, I think that the Buhari's administration has done remarkably well when it comes to Lagos-Ibadan Expressway.
Yes.
I know that we, the three of us in this studio, we are not engineers. I know that we can't say exactly what they are dealing with. But what I know also is that this has taken way too long. Especially that car axis area. It's taking way too long. Because immediately you leave Long Bridge and you're on your way to Ibadan, the next portion that is not as good is just about 3-4 kilometers, give or take.
Yeah.
Very small, like very, very small. The rest after then is smooth ride all the way to Ibadan. Like you won't believe that you're in Nigeria. Is that good?
It's just that you don't talk ill of the dead because they are not around to defend themselves. What I do know is that when you are a so-called Mr. Fix-It in politics, it means you have a lot of money to throw around. That much I can say. And the Minister for Works in Obasanjo's time, his nickname was Mr. Fix-It. So you want to add two and two together?
Yeah.
Maybe there's some synergy in between those two phrases. But like you rightly said, I also believe that at least the Buhari government were able to... Buhari has actually tried in quite a number of areas. It's the little things that are irritating. Managing people, managing situations, being proactive, seeing government being run hands-on. And I said the success of a government is not completely determined by flyovers, high-rise buildings, trains, and whatever. Everyday life is more important. Making life bearable on a daily basis is more important than all this put together. That's my argument. So for those, especially for Buhari supporters who don't want to hear you say anything at all, we're not saying he hasn't done anything. How can he not do anything for 8 years? He has. He's done quite a lot of notable things, but the little things, Larry.
Priority.
It's not even priority. The little things that make life bearable, it hasn't been done. It's like you have your house, it's a mansion, but it is leaking. You can't change the taps, you can't change the roof. Change the ceiling. 9:53, we gotta go.
Yes.
We gotta go. Larry, I'm not saying thank you very much. We haven't sapped you.
Me, sir.
I haven't sapped you enough, but we might bring you here another time. But next time, Mrs. Chidi, have a representative here to deal with you with the little things that you. No, what we'll do is that we ask him to pay a bond. You pay like
exactly.
50 million. Yeah. That's why LA.
Just pay down.
Deposit for damages.
Yeah. All right. You can say whatever you want to say then.
Don't love me.
And
don't love me. anyway, look at this story here on CNN.
Yeah.
Plant strikes to something for those who are going to the UK. I feel sorry for you. This might not be the best time to go, but well, nothing spoiled. Thank you very much. So we'll be back again tomorrow on the discourse at 9 o'clock. Okay, the discourse with Jimmy. This is tomorrow, being Saturday, at 9 o'clock. We'll be here. Thank you very much, Larry, and thank you very much, Sheriff.
Yes,
especially for the Ibadan perspective that you put there. I'm Obadonio. I say da. Oh, yeah, go my love, we're going to I'll see you all tomorrow.